We're going to finish up this section on 1 Corinthians 15. And I got one verse. And I hope that this verse will speak succinctly to you as it has to me. If you're physically able, would you stand? I want to read this one verse in our hearing and then see how the Lord might use his word to prepare us for what lies ahead. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it reads, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Amen. Our Lord, we bow together and ask you to help us now to understand with great clarity what you are saying to us. Help us with great clarity and determination to apply it to our lives, and help us with great perseverance and tenacity to carry out your will for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for today is simply, we must persevere with conviction. We must persevere with conviction. Now, you might remember 2 weeks ago, we considered the mystery of the gospel in chapter 2. The mystery of the gospel. And then last week, we considered what the Bible calls the mystery of the resurrection. Yes? The mystery of the resurrection. And as we looked at the mystery of the resurrection, we saw that the resurrection demands a radical change for saints. The resurrection demands a radical physical change for saints. This resurrection, which God himself has planned, will simply mean living saints and dead saints will be changed to immortal ones. These mortal bodies that we have now cannot live throughout eternity. And so there's a radical change that must take place for both the living and the deceased saints for us to experience the glory of eternity. This resurrection means that mortal bodies, I already said that, will be changed into immortal ones, and it will result in victory for the saints. This resurrection will result in victory and thanksgiving. And so I hope that as you embrace these realities, you will see that the resurrection is not trivial. The resurrection is not something for just casual conversation. The resurrection is central to our faith. It is a part of the truth of the gospel. The resurrection is a reality. Now, here's what I want you to see as we talk about this verse today. Some members, the church at Corinth, had begun to doubt the reality of the resurrection. This is very, very true today. You notice chapter 15 and verse 12. Paul says, as he's writing to the believers there, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You see? They had reached the point, because the circumstance in their church wasn't changing. The circumstances maybe in their homes, you read about all kinds of problems at this church. They had employment problems. They had problems all around them, and they had reached the point to where they had concluded that there will be no resurrection. Okay? Verse 13, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead," look at the conclusion that must be reached.
then not even Christ has been raised. And you see verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. The resurrection is central, essential, fundamental to our faith. Amen. Yes? And so I hope that, I don't believe this is true, but I hope that you don't let the controversy going on in our world about all of the views about eschatology dissuade you from believing that the resurrection is a reality. As a matter of fact, the resurrection is a necessity. Amen. For our faith. Now, with that in mind, we're just going to discuss these two big ideas and we'll be done for the morning. And actually, we will be done for the morning. The resurrection motivates us to action. Okay? And then secondly, I want to convince you that the resurrection provides reason for our action. So the reason that it's so essential to have this good and proper understanding about the resurrection is that it actually is the motivation that we have to keep going when you want to quit, when you want to give up. And we're going to find just in this one verse that it also gives us reasons to keep going, reasons to keep serving, reasons, reasons, reasons. So let's dive in. Let's look at how the resurrection motivates us to action. You got your Bible. The first verse we see there, the first words we are met with in chapter 58, after it refers to them and us, therefore, my beloved brothers, the first verb is to be steadfast. You see that? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Phonetically, that word is spelled H-E-D-R-A-I-O-S, hedraios, hedraios. And the word means to be firmly established in one position. You got it? Hedraios. So he's saying to them and he's saying to us, you need to be firmly established in one position on the resurrection. It means to have to be solidly in one place. You can see why if you're not, this is going to be very difficult in life if you don't know where you stand on the resurrection. Okay? So he says to us, be steadfast. Every believer needs to be firmly established in the truth of the resurrection. Otherwise, you wind up where these Corinthians were. You wind up finally just giving up and don't even want to discuss it. There is no resurrection. I pretend as if it doesn't even exist. You see, that's a bad place to be, my brother, my sister. Every believer, not just don't believe what I believe. Believe what the Bible teaches. You have to be convinced that you know what the Bible teaches. Yes? Every believer needs to be firmly established in the truth of the resurrection. Understand what you believe with clarity. If you're going to help someone outside of our congregation, or someone maybe who even doesn't believe, you need to. If you don't have great clarity, you can't help anyone else. Yes? And so, to be steadfast is to have singularity, to know what you believe. You need to know and be able to enunciate and explain what you believe. There were many false teachings about the future for the saints then, just as there are today. But you remember what we just read? If there is no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be hedraios. So that's the one motivation that we have to go on. The second one is the word, you're back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, is immovable. And this is a real interesting word here. I'm going to show it to you. Phonetically, it's spelled A-M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-T-O-S, okay? Ametakinetos. And what it means is to remain firm in your position without wavering. Hopefully you can see how these work together. First of all, you need to know what you believe. And then what Paul is saying, once you know what you believe, don't waver on it. You see how these fit together? Remain firm in your position without wavering. Every believer needs to be willing and able to resist false teaching, even when it's coming from the most persuasive source. You need to know what you believe, and you need to be able to stay in the position of your faith without wavering. I can tell you this for certain, having taught Bible classes for 20 or 30 years, there will always be challenges that you'll have to say, I'll need to get back to you on. Amen. God always uses situations and circumstances to drive you back to Bible study. None of us have all the answers, you see. But when you know what you have believed, then that enables you to not waver just because you can't answer a question. You understand? And so that's his instruction here to these believers, is to be steadfast, establish one position and know where you are, and then be able and willing to resist false teaching when it comes. False teaching about the future or about eschatology are extremely persuasive if the listener is easily shaken. Think about that. And that's, regardless of the topic that you take, if you are easily shaken, then you set yourself up to be deceived. Yes? Once false teaching, look at Adam and Eve. Once Eve opened herself up to the possibility of what God had or had not said, she now made herself vulnerable, right, for the false teaching. So I'm saying don't be teachable. You understand the difference? You just need to know what you have believed and be able to be established in it. So, for them, you and I need to be steadfast, immovable. And then the last motivation he gives there is always abounding. Now, look, notice this. This is two words. They're the two words spelled P-A-N-T-O-T-E and P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. Pontite parousio. Pontite parousio. And what it means is to excel or be in abundance at all times or always. Now, I hope you're following this because it all fits together. When you look at this, the believer is to excel in the gospel ministry and carry it out in abundance at all times. So once you know what you have believed, and once you know what your future holds, now you can continue, you can do what God wants you to do right now. And what he's saying is, do it with all your heart. Don't be reserved. Don't restrain yourself in doing what God wants because your future is fuzzy. He's saying to you, you have to know that your future is secure. All right? And so this gospel ministry that's needed today, God needs believers to be faithful right now. The church and what the church believes today is so frustrating at times to see how many different views the church can have on any topic. And if you don't know what you have believed, and if you don't know what God wants you to do, that could be discouraging. But God needs the gospel ministry to go on regardless of what's happening in the world around you, regardless of what's happening in the church around you, all right? And so the believer is to excel in the gospel ministry regardless of what's going on. Be established, know what you believe, don't waver, and do what God has called you to do. Regardless of the popularity of false teachers or false teaching, we must stay with the ministry that Jesus Christ has given to us. Regardless of the teaching or the false teacher, you must stay with the ministry that God has given to you. I can fairly safely say that most of us have come out of some environments where at least error had caused a wrong direction in the church. But that didn't harden you to the work of the gospel. That didn't sour, right, your heart toward the work of the gospel, because you knew what God had called you to do. That's really all that Paul is saying here now. Don't pull back because you're discouraged with what's going on around you. Press in all the more. That just shows the need for truth, the need for the gospel to go forth. And so I would say to every one of us, this is just as relevant for us as it was with the church at Corinth. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable. And we need to always be abounding in the ministry that God has called you to do. The last thought is, the reason, why does this need to take place? The reason is very straightforward and simple. The first reason is the type of work that we are given to do. You got verse 58? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the type of work, right? We know that our labor must be in the Lord. Amen. It can't simply be what you want to do. It can't simply be what you're, is easy for you to do. It needs to be the work that God has assigned you to do. It's the labor in the Lord that gives us the reason to go forward. The work of the Lord, what is it? It's teaching. The work of the Lord is preaching. The work of the Lord is counseling. And the work of the Lord isn't simply spiritual. The work of the Lord also is very practical. It's feeding and providing needs for people, all right? The work of the Lord, I mean, look at Jesus himself. Look at him as he moved on this earth. He took care of people's needs, right? It's protecting. It's reproving. It's correcting. It's training. It's exhorting people. It's comforting. It's praying for people. It's praising God. If you're still there in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 16 and verse 10. Paul says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. Is that your testimony? Can you sit here today and say, I know I am doing the work of the Lord? That's the issue here. Are you confident that you are doing the work of the Lord? So the type of work is one of the reasons
And finally, it's the value of the work or the labor. That's the fundamental reason for us to be faithful. We know, I certainly hope you know, we know that all labor in the Lord is never in vain. We know that any labor in the Lord is not in vain, whether people see it or not. If it's what God has assigned you to do, it is not in vain. Whether you get any credit for it down here or not, it is not in vain. Any and all labor in the Lord is not in vain. Every Christian will be rewarded for the type of work done. Some of you will be familiar with these verses, but I want to read them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Listen very, very carefully. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw. Hopefully you'll notice these building materials are materials that are built on the on a good foundation. It's on the foundation of Christ. If you're a Christian, everything you do is building on top of Christ. And what he's saying here is the type of work that you do determines the quality of what you're doing, okay? So you got six different types building products that are on top of the foundation. Verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Now, what is he speaking of? The day of judgment, when nobody else is there. You see, you won't be able to fake it soon. You can sit here today and fake it and pretend that you're doing God's work. But the day is coming soon when you won't be able to fake it. It'll just be you and Christ. That's the reason the resurrection is so important. You will be resurrected. You will be resurrected. If he comes next week or 100 years from now, you will be resurrected. And this very reality that we're talking about now will happen. That's the reason the resurrection is so important. You need to know that you will give an account for what you have done. Not just coming to church. What work have you done for Christ? And that's, I know this is not a popular topic, but you need to really get serious about this. My job is to make you serious about what you're supposed to be doing. And if you disregard it, that's between you and the Lord. Amen. But I'm saying to everyone in this room that the day is coming when you will have to give an account for what you did today and yesterday and tomorrow and every other day. We good? Amen. It's not simply the good accomplishments that you made. You know, it's not that you had a good job, you lived in a good house, you paid your taxes. That's not labor. What labor did you do for the Lord? You see, he mentioned these products. Well, let me read it. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. You see, that's the whole point. Judgment will determine whether or not what you did was worthwhile. we just heard earlier about the vine and the branch. If you are not bearing fruit from Christ, it's of no benefit to him. If Christ isn't not only enabling you, if he hasn't charged you to do it, then it's you doing it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, you see that? He will receive a reward. That's really all that we're talking about here. If you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. The only question is, will everything you've done down here be in vain? If anyone's now this is this the last verse is the one that I just talked about. You see the last verse? If anyone's work is burned up, these are the Christians that have been lazy and done virtually nothing for the Lord. Their work will be burned up. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Look at this. Though he himself will be saved. You get it? This is not some Woodmoreism. I'm reading it so that you can see this is in your Bible. You with me? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Is that in your Bible? If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You don't want that to be you, my brother, my sister. You don't want that to be you. You can say, well, at least I'm going to heaven. Come on. Why would that be your only desire? You see, that's the point. God says, I want you to be abounding. I want you to be working for me. Not just for yourself, not just to get a better house, a better car, better education, have more friends and all the other. That's what the world is doing. Right? I want you to have something in heaven waiting on you. Trinity, that's the issue. What are you doing for the Lord? Not for the church. Plenty of us are doing stuff for the church. What are you doing for the Lord? You understand the difference? It's the labor in the Lord that is not in vain. You see that other verse I have up there? We're getting close. 2 Corinthians 5, and you see verse 10? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due from what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Amen. Labor in the Lord is eternal. Many of you have heard this verse read at funerals. I just want you to think of it in the context in which we're speaking. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. That's my story. Not long, not hard, but it's serious. Understanding the truth about the resurrection prepares the Christian for life and ministry. Understanding this truth about the resurrection prepares us for times of difficulty and times of comfort. When you know the truth about the resurrection, you can push on. When things are hard, it prepares you for times of opposition and times of cooperation. It prepares you for times of growth and times when things are stagnant. You don't see anything changing. When you know the truth about your future, you can go on. It prepares you for times of joy
and times of sorrow, times when you're healthy and times when you're sick. You can press on. It prepares you for the times when you're doing well financially, when you're prosperous, and for the times when the bottom has dropped out financially. You can press on. Prepares you for times of peace, times of war, times of justice, times of injustice. When injustice is all around us, you can press on when you know the truth about your future. Times when you have strong faith, and times when you've got strong temptation. Time when you've got clarity about what's happening, and times when you're confused. Times when you see birth, and times when you're experiencing death. This resurrection and the truth of it prepares us for godly living in our homes. If you will seriously take what I'm saying, God has given us labor to do in our homes. Are we doing it? Personalize it. Are you doing it? Are you doing the work of the Lord in your home? You're doing what God has charged you to do in your home. Prepares us for the work that we need to do in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in the workplace, and in our church. A right understanding, a biblical understanding about our future stabilizes us in times of difficulty and in times of strong temptation. We must have a clear understanding about heaven. We must have a clear understanding about eternity. We must have a clear understanding about our bodies and our possessions in order to have right priorities for our time. What are you going to do with your time? I'm saying to you, what you understand about the future determines what you do right now.
Amen.
For you to have right priorities about your work. What you do with your money is affected by what you believe about the resurrection.
Amen.
What you do with your possessions. How you treat other people is affected by what you believe about the resurrection. Do you believe that anyone in this room that God has saved will be in heaven with you? Then if that's true, you need to treat God's child right now.
Amen.
Yes? When you know with certainty that your future is secure and glorious, then you will persevere in the work that Jesus has assigned you to do without giving up or quitting. Use your time to store up treasure in heaven. Use your money to store up treasure in heaven. Use your skills to store up treasures in heaven. Use your possessions to store up treasures in heaven. Use your computer to store up treasures in heaven. I'm going to talk practical to you. Use your lawnmower to store up treasures in heaven. Do you believe that you can do the work that God wants you to do with your lawnmower? You see? Do you believe that there's needs that God wants you to meet that will be labor waiting on you when you get in heaven? Use these things to store up treasure in heaven because you know the resurrection is in your future. You know that the new heaven and the new earth are on the way. You know that Jesus will return soon. Remember these words of our Lord and Christ. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. Just listen to them. It's found in Matthew 5. Listen to this, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The mystery of the resurrection gives us hope for the future as we persevere in faith. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to encourage you to hear the truth. You will die if you continue to live. And you will meet Jesus after death. If you're not a Christian and Jesus returns, you won't physically die, but you're still going to meet him. And you're going to have to give an account. So if you got doubts about being a Christian, this is the time to settle it. This is not a fairy tale. This is not like one of the Harry Potter movies or Steven Spielberg. This is reality. Jesus is coming. And we must all stand before him. Are you ready? Lord, I want to thank you for